everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace.
This is Nick.
And this is a Hunt for Wolverine episode. So we're going to be talking about the latest chapter in the Hunt for Wolverine. So the issue that came out most recently on Wednesday, May 9th, was The Adamantium Agenda Number 1, written by Tom Taylor. We've got pencils by R.B. Silva. We've got inks by Adriano Di Benedetto with R.B. Silva, and colors by Jesus Abertov. So this is the Avengers book, as Nick likes to refer to it as. We saw in the Hunt for Wolverine one-shot, Kitty Pryde went to both Daredevil, and we talked about the team he assembled last week in Weapon Lost number 1, and then she went to Iron Man, and this is basically the team that Iron Man recruits. And as I said, Nick refers to it as the Avengers book, because really, when you think about it, this is the new Avengers team. The reason these people care about Logan and want to find him is they were together on a Avengers team with Logan. Again, new Avengers, and I guess that this team most closely resembles either the team that was around sort of at the end of Volume 1 or maybe Volume 2. So New Avengers was, it was a spin-off of, you know, the regular Avengers title. You okay over there?
Yeah. My cat discovered a box. I'll mute myself for a little bit.
All right. So the New Avengers title was a spin-off, obviously, of the original Avengers. The first two volumes are both written by Brian Michael Bendis. And the first volume was written by David Finch. So obviously, you know, some powerhouse creators there. And basically what happens is the New Avengers, they're not actually named the New Avengers within the series, but there was a group of former Avengers. They chose not to comply with the Superhuman Registration Act that was, you know, the whole impetus behind the Civil War. But they could still kind of consider themselves Avengers. And so by the end of the first volume, you had guys like Captain America, the Bucky Barnes version, Ms. Marvel, Mockingbird, Spider-Man, Spider-Woman, Wolverine, Luke Cage. So, you know, real similar to the team that we see here. And then Volume 2, again, we have Luke Cage. We've got Jessica Jones, who we see in Adamantium Agenda. Got Spider-Man, got Wolverine. So I don't know if there was ever any particular issues or any particular runs or arcs where it was this exact team, right? So that would have been Iron Man, Spider-Man, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, and Wolverine. It's entirely possible. And in fact, at the beginning of the story, that's exactly the team that we see, and they're responding to a threat. Maria Hill is in what looks to be some kind of apartment building in Tribeca, New York. And there's some kind of bomb there. And the bomb is specifically made to kill a hero. And by that, I mean the only way to defuse it is to have somebody, like, literally in the room to, like, flip the switch and keep it from – well, actually to cause it to explode. Because what happens is it's on a timer. And if it explodes, it's going to take out, like, 4 city blocks, right? But if somebody triggers it, it only goes like 200 yards. The blast is much smaller, and it's set up in such a way that somebody has to be there. Like, it needs to sense that somebody's there. So obviously, you know, they're all heroes. Iron Man's not there, but you've got Spider-Man, you've got Jessica Jones, you've got Luke Cage, and you've got Wolverine, and they all want to be the one to, like, put, they're all willing to sacrifice. They're all heroes, right? And Spider-Man's even like, hey, can I just, like, hook my, like, a web up to this thing and, like, move 300 yards away and, like, pull on it? And Maria Hill's like, no, won't work. Jessica Jones wants to throw it in the Hudson. No, it'll go off if you try to move it. So eventually, although the other three heroes aren't real keen on the idea, it's Wolverine that decides that he has the best chance to survive. And he's going to be the one to stay and basically trigger the bomb. So that's the first half of the book or so. We see that go down, and then Iron Man does show up after the bomb's gone off, and even though there's gas and localized radiation, Stark goes in there to find him, and then we see him at the grave on the next page, and he's telling Kitty Pryde that he owes Wolverine, and it's basically for that moment, and they all agreed that they would, no matter what happened in some kind of similar situation, they would be sure that they took care of Wolverine's body, and you know, he would rest in peace, basically. So now that he's missing, as Kitty Pryde has told Iron Man takes it upon himself to recruit members of that new Avengers team, namely Spider-Man, Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage. And he actually has a lead. He's heard of kind of an underworld black market auction that's going on a submerged submarine underneath the water off the coast of Guam. And supposedly this auction is going to include the complete DNA genetic profile of a superhuman. So they assume it's got to be Wolverine's. I mean, his body's missing. It must be Wolverine. Find out that, in fact, it's not Wolverine. And again, spoilers, if you plan on reading this for yourself, you might want to skip ahead 30 seconds. It actually turns out to be Danielle Cage, Luke Cage and Jessica Jones's daughter. So big curveball there. And I love the tease for the next issue. Next, angry powered parents on a submarine. Jessica Jones is like, bleep, 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 what? And yeah, you can only imagine that, you know, stuff's going to hit the fan, because these parents are not exactly the most stable or the most willing to listen to reason. And we see that a little earlier in the issue when they all want to head to the auction. There's four, you know, all four of them want to head to the auction. And only one person's allowed from each group to go to the auction. But they nearly come to blows with the guards just based on the fact that the guards put a hand on Luke Cage. And Tony Stark has to remind him, hey, guys, highly pressurized underwater tube, remember? And again, I mean, they're all in their civilian guises. Everybody that goes to the auction is required to wear a mask. So, and I mean, Tony Stark would probably be recognizable. I don't know that anybody would recognize Peter Parker or either Jessica Jones or Luke Cage. But pretty interesting what's about to happen in the next issue. So it is strange, though, because it's completely taken a turn away from Wolverine, right? I mean, you kind of had an idea that, okay, it's not going to be that simple. It's never that simple. That they're just going to go there. They're going to find out, oh yeah, it's Wolverine's genetic makeup, and we'll find out who supplied it, and we'll track it. You know, we'll backtrack. We'll find that person, and they'll lead us to Wolverine's body. It's never that simple. So now it's like there's two mysteries. How did they get Danielle Cage's genetic makeup, her DNA? What are they going to do about it? Do we know? I mean, I haven't read much Luke Cage or Jessica Jones, so I don't even know if Danielle Cage, has she actually like manifested any powers yet? Like, I have no idea.
Not that I'm aware of. The most recent book I read was, I think I'm still an issue or two behind on Bendis's final run on Jessica Jones. And the Purple Man uses her as bait in a certain scene, but she has no powers.
I heard about that.
It's a great scene, but yeah, there's no, I've seen in the comics I've read no manifestation of powers in their daughter.
So definitely interesting. I really enjoyed it. Again, I haven't read any of Bendis's New Avengers, but what's interesting is this group of characters, and it's Tom Taylor who I think is a good writer, and I enjoy his writing. But as I said, I haven't read any New Avengers. So I don't know. I mean, Volume 3 was written by Jonathan Hickman, and then Volume 4 of New Avengers was Al Ewing. So I don't know. And obviously, you know, it's Avengers, so the rosters are constantly changing. But as I said earlier, there's probably some story arcs that have this exact team. What I don't know is if Tom Taylor is like playing off those, you know, is he trying to make the characterization and the relationships between these characters, the kind of the banter that I so enjoyed in this issue, is he pulling from Bendis's run or Hickman or Al Ewing? Is he pulling from anybody's run of these characters together as inspiration for this? Because this was so much fun that if this is the same style and tone of previous New Avengers work, I want to read that. Like it's enjoyable, right? So I enjoyed the early scene. It did seem a little contrived. Like, okay, we'll solve it this way. No, can't solve it that way because of this. Okay, we'll solve it this way. No, can't solve it that way because I'm like, how did S.H.I.E.L.D. How are they able to find out like all those conditions like so quickly, but they couldn't figure out a way around? Like they could find out all the conditions, but they couldn't find a way to defuse the bomb without Wolverine like having to be the one to pull the trigger. And I understand it's, you know, it wouldn't, if they did that, then defeats the whole purpose of the story and the motivation for these characters and stuff. So I get it, but it seemed like part of kind of a weaker plot point to me.
Look, yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D. is very secretive. As they say in the movies, Nick Fury's secrets have secrets. So, you know, there's tons of shit going on there.
They're able to find out, yep, it's got to be a living person. Because at one point they even mentioned, Spider-Man's like, well, can we get a dead body?
Yeah.
No, it's got to have like a bioelectrical signal that the person's still alive and you can't use web and you can't, like, really? I mean, you're S.H.I.E.L.D. and you could figure out all this stuff, but you can't figure out a way to like use a dead body or fake a bioelectrical, you know?
I think the villain left a note and S.H.I.E.L.D. is just acting smart that they determined all of this, but really the note says all this information.
Yeah, completely plausible. Sent S.H.I.E.L.D. an email, right?
Yeah.
And tweeted it out to him. Said, hey, here's what's up, but you can pretend like, you know, I didn't tell you. I don't know. I don't think that scene ever actually appeared in a New Avengers comic.
I don't know why you'd redo it. Like, that has happened. I don't know why you'd show it a second time. It has to be an original.
No, but I'm saying if it did happen and they're flashing back to it to explain why, hey, remember when this happened in the New Avengers with this team and this is why they're motivated. I kind of doubt it myself just because they went into so much detail rather than just, you know, three or four panels with like a little, hey, go back and read blah, blah, blah. And it would also be interesting if we find out that it has in any way ties into what's going on in the book. Because he spends like half the first issue on it. So I could see it tying in, but I could also see it not. So that'll be something interesting. But like I said, it did make me want to read more New Avengers as much as, you know, Brian Michael Bendis stuff is both easy to read and hard to read. And the reason I say easy is because it's very much decompressed, so they're quick reads, but he also tends to do really long runs on stuff. So each individual issue might only take you 5 to 10 minutes to read, but you got 50 issues to read. So it still ends up being like a huge, huge amount of stuff. So in a way, the Secret Wars chronology that we're doing right now is kind of like the Jonathan Hickman reading order of Marvel, right? And then I'm thinking, oh, I need to read this Bendis stuff. Oh, you know, I never did finish reading Ultimate Spider-Man either. I'd like to do that. Then I start thinking, you know, why don't we just do a giant Brian Michael Bendis reading order of Marvel? And now we're starting to talk about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of issues. Like, man, there's only so many hours in the day.
I'm still down.
Right? You're still
down. I love Bendis. It's like Marvel stuff I've read so far.
Yeah, so one of us needs to win the lottery and pay the other one to just read comics all day long. Because, yeah, again, there's only so many hours a day. But, yeah, I mean, I would love to go back and read this New Avengers stuff. I think that I just like the dynamic with these characters. I mean, you don't think of Spider-Man and Wolverine as Avengers necessarily, you know? You think of Wolverine as an X-Man. You think of Spider-Man more as a loner. You don't necessarily think of Spider-Man as a team player. But again, I just love the interactions. So, have you read any New Avengers at all?
A little bit, yeah. I have some issues from them in a long box somewhere.
Do you know which volume it's from?
What?
Do you know which volume it's from?
No. I think I have some that relates to the cover of Volume 2 with, like, the Red Hulk on them, if I'm thinking of the right book.
Well, Volume 2 is the one that had the Heroic Age branding on it.
Yeah. So maybe Volume 3 or something? This one with the, like, Red Hulk's on the cover.
Hmm.
Which is included in whatever comics I own. But I haven't read much of it. But that was kind of when I was getting in. That was when I ran. That was the last time I read Avengers, was around that time.
Yeah. Then the New Avengers, the last one, that one launched in 2015 with the All New, All Different. So that the last volume of New Avengers was like post Secret War, like the last Hickman Secret War.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably not that one. So yeah, I think. Yeah, maybe. I mean, I thought I saw one of the teams that actually said it had Red Hulk on there. But my guess would be your issues are probably from Volume 1, because Volume 1 lasted by far the longest. It was from 2005, which was kind of the end of Civil War, to 2010.
Oh, okay.
And then Volume 2 was only for 2 years, 2010 to 2012. Volume 3 was 2013 to 2015, and then Volume 4 was 2015 to 2016. So my guess is it's probably Volume 1 that you have, because I think that was kind of the heyday of Red Hulk, that 2005 to 2010. But yeah, I mean, maybe we'll see if we can work that in at some point. Yeah, again, it's just a matter of having not only time to read the comics, but then finding time to podcast about them while working day jobs and life. So what else do you have to add about the story, Nick? I've been monopolizing here. Go ahead.
I just like this combination of Avengers. Like I said, I read some New Avengers. I don't remember this exact team except for a cover or two, but it's fun having the more street side heroes like Jessica Jones and Luke Cage, and even Spider-Man to an effect, with the more international heroes of Wolverine and Iron Man. Like,
well, I would, you know, we've talked about this. We talked about it when we talked about Weapon Lost, about how, yeah, Wolverine is, he's been part of some of the biggest stories, you know, in Marvel history. And, you know, the X-Men go up against some pretty heavy hitters, you know, out in space and all kinds of stuff. But Wolverine himself is somewhat of a street-level character. I mean, it's not like he's firing beams, you know, from far away. It's not like he's Storm controlling weather. I mean, he's got to be, like, right there in your face attacking you to use
still,
his ability.
It seems like he's in just as many big adventures as the Avengers, like...
Yeah,
like back in the day, maybe.
Yeah, that's true. But my point is, you know, and we were talking about this also when we were talking about him being in the Infinity stuff that's going on right now. You don't think of him as a, even though you think of him as an X-Men, you think of him more as like a street level character. You know, he's not like a giant powerhouse. You know, he's not Iron Man that. Or like the Hulk that just is this massive, like game-changing, all-powerful character. You know, I mean, he's much more close to somebody like a Daredevil or a Punisher or a Spider-Man, who's, you know, more of a street-level character. Not to say he's not important. Not to say he
That's
hasn't
true.
Been part of some, you know, huge stories over the years. But again, I just don't think you think of him as like an Avenger-level person. You know, like a Thor.
Yeah.
For example. So, yeah.
He does have one hell of a superpower, though. I mean, compared to even Spider-Man. Like, Spider-Man can't, like, take a shotgun to the chest necessarily and, like, walk it off.
Yeah, and that's an interesting aspect of Wolverine, too, that kind of ties in with the fact that why did – I mean, I guess because the healing factor was gone, but in my mind – if you know Wolverine and you've seen everything he's been through, man, you keep his body like locked up in the Xavier Mansion and you keep an eye on it because he could start regenerating at any time. I mean, this guy took a point blank blast from Nuke, you know, in Civil War. And it looked like the only thing that was left was the adamantium from his skeleton, and everything else was blown away. But as long as there's like even one living cell, his entire body with all his memories will regrow from like one living cell. I mean, that's the level of power this guy has, you know? I mean, you want to talk about a healing factor. This guy's like virtually unkillable. So again, it makes you wonder, like, why did you – I mean, I understand that even, you know, Reed Richards, all the best minds in the Marvel Universe looked, and yeah, supposedly that healing factor was gone. But why would you take the chance, you know, of putting his body anywhere but right up where you could check in every day to see if he was regenerating? I guess hindsight's 20/20. What do you think about the art?
I like the art quite a bit. I mean, it's – it reminds me of the new Avengers art, honestly. But probably the most interestingly drawn character is Wolverine, which, yeah, it does. It reminds me of the book from around 2011 or so.
Yeah, I don't know that. I mean, like I said, David Finch worked on the first volume. I know Steve McNiven, Linnell Francis Yu, Billy Tan, Stuart Immonen were some of the first artists on the book, but I don't know if R.B. Silva, I don't think so. I don't think he was, he's been around that long. And I like the art for the most part too. For me, it has very much of a, who am I trying to think of? Oh, Christopher, not Christopher, Bright, M.D. Bright. And he was an artist on Iron Man. He had a long run on Iron Man. It has a little bit of that feel, but maybe his lines are a little finer than Mark Bright's lines. But I actually don't like the way he draws Wolverine. I mean, his Wolverine to me is wildly inconsistent in the first part of the story. You know, the way his like mask like juts way out, I don't care for that. And there's a couple of scenes where his whole head just looks really squashed to me. Like, he draws him extremely stocky.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of scenes where it's not that way so much, and then others where it is. And so, like, specifically,
as I see that,
as I'm looking on my digital copy, page 7, the first panel, like, his head looks really smashed. Like, and the top of his head looks, like, significantly wider than his jaw. It just doesn't quite – like, if you extend that down, it just doesn't work. But the second panel, he looks fine. But then the last panel, again, his head is just, like, really squashed.
So, I can definitely see that now looking at the same page.
So that – yeah. Other than that, it's just that one page where it looked wonky to me. But I also feel like his art, and I don't know purposefully if he did this, the now part of the book, his art looks a little different to me. It looks like a little cleaner. The first part looks a little sketchier to my eye, but maybe it was just the setting. But this, particularly the scenes in the submarine, I really enjoyed. There's a couple panels like, yeah. So I think he did a really good job. And you know, my complaints may be about, you know, the way he chose to draw, you know, a certain character or, you know, just a little wonky on form and figure work. But as far as storytelling, I find no fault with it. I think the storytelling is done really well. And particularly on the last page, the look on Luke Cage's face when he finds out it's his daughter, and then Jessica, the look on Jessica's face.
Yeah.
I find no fault there at all. The color work, it's serviceable. I think it's like spectacular. It's not the best color work I've seen. But it didn't detract from the story. It just didn't really stand out for me. You know, there was not really any differentiation between the story that took place in the beginning part of the book in the past versus the later part that supposedly is occurring in current times. So I kind of think that was an opportunity missed. Could have gave some kind of differentiation. You could have done, you know, muted colors, had it, you know, like either a little bit black and white or a little sepia toned. And I think that would have kind of enhanced and helped separate it. Because if you're not careful and you're reading the balloons, well, I guess the fact that Wolverine's there, you kind of like, oh yeah, okay, this had to be in the past. But yeah, for the most part, the art's good. Bordering on great. But yeah, I think the color work could use some, just be a little more experimental, you know, take some chances. So anything else that we want to add?
Nah, just it'll be interesting to see which direction the book does take and how it ties back into the Wolverine search. Because, yeah, it looks like Jessica Jones and Luke Cage are going to be interested in something else now. So,
yeah,
we'll see how it ties in.
Yeah, I mean, are they going to split up? Are they just going to follow that thread and hope that it leads them to Wolverine? Yeah, I mean, you clearly can imagine Cage and Jones like wanting to get answers for that, and Iron Man being like, well, I understand, but you know, we are on the hunt for Wolverine. So one other thing I do want to add, not about this book in particular, but just about Hunt for Wolverine in general. So we had speculated about, you know, once we kind of got the overall structure of the story down, because we didn't do our homework, and you know, we were like, okay, there's a Hunt for Wolverine series and there's other series, so it's like 20 issues, and then we're like, no, wait, okay, it's 4 series of 4 issues, so 16, plus the one-shot Hunt for Wolverine that kicked it off, so 17, and we speculated, okay, how are they all going to tie back together? Mm-hmm. And we haven't heard anything. We still haven't had any official word from Marvel. Solicits for, I guess it would be August, are going to come out soon, next week or so. But what we did see was that when Marvel announced the Return of the Fantastic Four, they also announced that they're going to be doing 20 covers that are Fantastic Four themed. And it's not going to be like Fantastic Four number one is going to have 20 variants. I mean, it probably will probably have 40 variants. But also every other Marvel title that month is going to have a Fantastic Four themed variant covering different eras and different makeups of the team of Fantastic Four. And one of the covers they revealed, they said, this is the Fantastic Four themed cover variant for Hunt for Wolverine Dead Ends, ENDS, number one. So we know that the Hunt for Wolverine series of miniseries appears to be continuing in August with the Hunt for Wolverine Dead Ends number one. Again, we don't know anything about it other than what that cover is going to look like, whether it is like another miniseries that wraps up these 4 miniseries that are going on, or whether it's just a one shot that pulls everything together. We just don't know, but there is more to come, as Marvel said when they announced, hey, there's going to be a one shot, there's going to be these 4 series, here's the creative teams, and there's more to be announced later. So this is more to be announced later. And whether there's even more to be announced later, obviously we'll keep you updated if we find out any other information, or when we find out more information about the Hunt for Wolverine Dead Ends number one. Personally, I hope that it's just like a one shot that wraps up the story. Because I think even though I'm interested and it seems pretty good so far, what I'm not interested in is having this drag on for so long. I mean, when I got into this, I'm like, okay, we'll read all these Wolverine issues. I honestly thought they would be like coming out weekly or bi-weekly or whatever. The fact that it's one issue every week for 16 weeks, I mean, that's like 4 months, dude. You know, we're looking at, you know, we started at the beginning of May. So we've got all of May, all of June, all of July, and now we're into August. Like, let's ramp it up here. Let's get Wolverine back. Let's find the answer. You know, not that I'm, you know, super anxious to read Wolverine's title that's going to spin out of this or whatever, but I want this story. I mean, it's been really good so far. It's Charles Soule bringing Wolverine back. So I wouldn't mind if it moved along a little quicker. But again, that's not to say I want them to add a whole bunch more stuff. I think if this Hunt for Wolverine Dead Ends is the end and it's 18 issues, you know, 18 weeks is an awful long time, but okay, I can live with that. Let's get the show on the road, though. If you add more stuff, I hope it's not added on to the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I guess that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Anything else, Nick?
Nope.
All right. Well, don't forget, you can go to lrmonline.com for all past episodes of the podcast. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. Twitter.com/TheComicSource is where we can be found on Twitter. All three places are a great spot to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. If you do head over to LRM Online for past episodes, don't forget we have a lot of other articles and podcasts covering pop culture, movies, TV shows, all that kind of good stuff. So once again, we want to thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Bye.